It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining me for our 15-minute visit that we have the opportunity to do each week here on KETR. I've got an interesting show brought to you today. Now, this portion of our show is underwritten by Sweet Dreams Winery down in Palestine, Texas, Allied Kenco Sales down in Houston, everything for the outdoor cook and butcher, and Plano Golf Carts, home of the Intimidator in Plano, Texas. Folks, Larry Wysoon just dropped by, Mr. Whitetail, and I thought it would be appropriate if we talked with Larry about several things, but especially hunting late-season bucks here in Texas. Larry, are you with us this morning, sir?
Yes, sir. I'd love to be out there hunting that late-season buck this morning, but unfortunately I was stuck in the office for a little bit, but great to be with you, sir.
Thank you very much. Well, folks up in Northeast Texas are listening to you this morning, and there's a lot of good hunting. Actually, after we get off the air, I'm heading down to Fairfield to the Clay Hill Ranch, and we've got some guys coming down to hunt some late-season bucks. But, you know, I'm surprised a lot of times the people that they think deer season closes, you know, that first Saturday in January in North Texas, and it does, the regular season. But, you know, a lot of people are not aware that management plans by Texas Parks and Wildlife allows certain ranches to hunt bucks and does right on through February.
They do. I mean, we're so very fortunate to have the game department that we do here in Texas, and we do have the managed land deer permit, as you mentioned, is under an approved management program that, and at the particular levels that they can be hunted till the end of February. And of course, right now is a fantastic time still to be hunting, and particularly if you're looking for some of those big mature bucks. Earlier in the season, they were sometimes really hard to find, and you know, now all of a sudden things are, the rut's pretty much over with, maybe except for maybe a little bit of chasing on some 6-month-old doe fawns are coming into estrus first time. But right now is the most fantastic time to hunt for some of those old mature bucks that you didn't see earlier on, because everything's over with. They're trying madly to repair their bodies to get ready for the next antler growing season. And so food sources, the ideal place to hunt right now.
You bet. And, you know, along those lines, I was talking to my buddy down on the Clay Hill Ranch, Randy Ofield, who's been down there hunting with some guys this week already. There's a lot of green fields planted, you know, on the Clay Hill. And every deer is coming out of the brush and hitting those green fields. They counted 25 bucks and three, what you and I would consider trophy bucks, in that bunch yesterday morning out on the green field. So a lot of these deer that have been hanging tight to the brush, I guess the pressure's over for them. For, not that there was a lot of pressure ever on that particular ranch, but I think they're just, you know, they're, like you say, they're feeling the need to feed heavily, and they're coming out, and we're seeing some that we haven't even seen, Larry.
Well, I think that's exactly right. There's several things going on right now. As I said, these bucks are hungry. They're trying to repair pretty much until we get some kind of spring green up as far as in that area, new yopon buds and American beautyberry and those other primary browse species. Right now, they're kind of at a standstill. So these deer are looking for something to fill their tummies with, and with the green fields that are planted there on that property and elsewhere, those deer really come into it. And really, I think another factor involved in it, I know some of those green fields have been fertilized in the past, and the owner there does a good job of fertilizing his green fields. That is an additional thing. Those white-tailed deer, particularly this time of the year, have the ability to determine what is the most nutritious plant out there. And with the fertilizer that's been applied along with the green fields that have been planted, I mean, it's pulling those deer out there where they're going to be able to be seen and really be able to evaluate. And I think that's one of the important things about the food plots and hunting right now, is that you're not going to have to make a split decision of a buck chasing a doe as to how old he is, or if he's big enough, that's what you're looking for. So it's going to pull those deer out there where you can get a chance to look at them. And it's very, very important that they get the nutrition now, if you expect to have any kind of decent antlers this next year or this next hunting season.
You know, Larry, we've got some this past week. We've got several inches of rain up in the northeast Texas area, and actually all across from central Texas on, I think. And that's going to be a boost to the probably going to help the deer a lot this spring when the green up starts, don't you think?
It really will. I mean, we've come through an extremely severe drought all over Texas. I've got a little place in Colorado County, and I've never, ever seen that place eaten down, and it was heated down, I guess, as much as eaten, because we didn't have a whole lot of cattle on it. But I've never seen it in as bad a shape as what it was nutritionally-wise as far as vegetation or the quality and quantity of vegetation. And these rains that we've had, these early winter rains, whatever you want to call them, have just been truly a godsend. And, you know, we can't thank good Lord enough for the rains that we've gotten right now. And hopefully we'll get a few more, and hopefully we'll get some water in some of these stock tanks in different parts of the country as well. But, yes, it's the rains that we've gotten have come at a most ideal time when it has to do with the white-tailed deer and when it has to do with other wildlife that we have throughout different parts of the state of Texas, and particularly up here in the northeastern part.
You bet. Folks, we're visiting with Larry Wysoon. I know that most all of you that enjoy the outdoors have read Larry's articles and watched him on TV. Larry, you're at a stage, you're at a stage right now where you've got a lot of appointments across the country, the Dallas Safari Club, the Houston Safari Club, the SHOT Show, and I think you're heading up to Maryland for an NRA show of some sort up there. This is the time of year when you've already done your field work, your hunting, and this is when you're doing a lot of traveling with these shows, aren't you?
Man, I love this time of year as well. Of course, I love being out in the woods, but this is a great time as far as we're concerned, where we can get together with a tremendous number of people that you can see at one place, and great time to plan hunting trips for the future. But also, like I said, I love people, and it's an opportunity for me to get together with people who love the outdoors, kind of like I do, from all over, really, the United States. So at one time or another, I'll be in almost every region of the states in January, February, and even into March at these different shows. So it's a great opportunity to visit with folks, find out what they like, listen to their hunting stories, which I truly enjoy, and learn more about their areas, and learn more about the people in those areas as well. So absolutely great fun.
Well, I've had the opportunity to spend a good bit of time with you, Larry, and you're like me. You really do. You enjoy being around people, and man, that's just a big plus to what you do, is having the opportunity to be around so many nice folks that like hunting. I think our listeners would really be interested in learning how your year unfolds. Now, like we mentioned, right now, you're at the, we might say, for lack of a better term, the socializing part. You're going all over the country meeting people and attending these shows. But what's coming up next after all the shows are over, what occupies a lot of your time then, Larry?
One of the things, too, that I'm still doing is I'm doing a fair amount of writing. I do some blogs on some of the different websites, and kicking off a blog on the Nature Blind website, and then right now, too, we're spending a lot of time just making sure that we're getting ready for the fall in terms of with what we're going to be using, with the different guns that I use, the different optics and ammo that I use, but also setting up these hunts, getting ready to start. Actually, in May, I'll start my serious hunting in May, going to, I think it's up in Manitoba with one of the gentlemen from Zeiss to do a bear hunt that we'll film, and then in June, I'll be in Africa, and then, July, I'll probably be back in Africa, and then August, a friend of mine and I are going to Kyrgyzstan for, mid-Altai ibex, and then after that, it starts right back into the hunting thing. But this is a great time. Like you say, I'm about to get through the socializing side of things,
yep.
But it's an opportunity to get together with all the different sponsors that I deal with, and as I said, to do a fair amount of writing. Going back to where I'm used to do, 150, 200 articles a year, and don't want to ever quite do that many again, but getting back to where you're really getting more into the writing side of things, and I enjoy that. So whatever time I have between the socializing and going to the shows and getting ready, I'll be spending a lot of time in front of my little notebook computer pounding out some stories.
That they are very handy. Well, coming up, you're going to go through a little period where you'll get to spend a little bit more time at home. Now, the A Hunter's Life TV show on the Sportsman's Channel, it will kick off again this summer, and it'll be brand new shows, correct?
These will be all brand new shows. There are actually 13 new shows. It'll start on probably the last week of June, I think is probably when they'll start. And probably on Wednesday night, as they have been. We're still negotiating some different times on some secondary airings. And, but yes, it'll kick all over brand new again. We'll have hunts dealing with Africa, including the African lion that I was able to take this past year, and hunts in, at least a couple hunts up in Alaska, and and then of course even some things that we did there in Northeast Texas this year, and on the Clay Hill Ranch, and some other Texas hunts, and some hunts scattered pretty much all over North America.
It'll be fun, and you know, it's like I can see how your life, Larry, the way you do the way you operate, it just one chapter closes in the book, then you open up, and it's probably got to be maybe old hat to you, but I mean every year it's probably very much the same, your schedule, right?
My schedule is very much the same, and when you get right down to it, even though it changes almost on a daily basis sometimes, but to some extent maybe it is old hat in the fact that kind of know what's going to happen. But you know, I'll tell you something. I can't wake up in the morning to go to quote unquote work. I dearly love what I do. I love the people. I love the outdoors, and to be so blessed to be able to take people with me, if you will, at least in a TV in a word written sense, to the outdoors is just been. I mean, it's a dream come true as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Larry, I share that passion with you, buddy, on a very much more limited basis. But I live a lot the same life. I pen a newspaper article every week, and then actually it's a title they give old writers, editor at large, on a couple of Texas magazines, and what that amounts to, they basically let old guys like me write about what I want to, and I do that, and then we have our regular radio shows there at Catfish Radio here at KETR. It's all fun, but if I couldn't get out and hunt and fish, I don't think I could do what I do. The writing part is what I'm getting at. I think right. You have to be out there doing it in the field to write about it. I think I can pretty much, when I read something, I can pretty much tell if that writer has actually been doing a lot of it or not,
I agree. I mean, it shows through in the writing. There's no doubt about it. There's a passion that shows through. There's a knowledge that shows through. And, we went through a stage a few years ago where we were dealing with lots of different magazine editors who had not done very much when you get right down to it, other than get a degree in journalism and go to work for a publication. And they were so wrapped up in the how-to, the recipe of how to do things that, they really kind of took some of the fun out of the reading, and particularly the writing as well. Excuse me. Thankfully, we've gone beyond that now. And these days, we're dealing with editors that, again, they've gotten some experience. And, now they're trying to parlay that experience to those folks who are the readers. And it has made the writing, and particularly the reading, in these publications so much more interesting than it was for a while.
You bet. I know what you're talking about, and on a lighter note here, I remember one time, it's been years back, I was writing for a publication that the editor knew very little. He was an expert journalist. I mean, he knew how to put his words together, but he knew very little about the nuts and bolts. And there was a situation come up where spinnerbait was spilled. I spelled it with in one word instead of two. Got to be a big issue. Like you say, a lot of the people that are, most of the editors now that I deal with are, sure enough, you know, you get out in the woods with them or in a fishing boat or whatever, you know, they know what they're doing, and that's a huge plus. Larry, you know what? We are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll get you back again, hopefully real soon. Folks, I want to remind you, you can listen to the archive of this show all this coming week, actually for weeks ahead, at KETR.org. And until this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.